Hello, you wonderful woman. Welcome to the Love is Coming podcast. I'm your host, Persia Lawson, one of the UK's most successful love coaches, according to the Times magazine, and author of the book, Love is Coming. It's my mission through this podcast to help single women, specifically female leaders, get powerful, soul-expanding relationships that revolutionize your growth, impact, and happiness during your time on planet Earth. Let's get straight to it. Hey everyone, welcome back. It is my deepest honor that you are going to get to hear from a really special woman, Nicola Price, who is the founder of Inspirational Breathing, world-renowned teacher, trainer of breath, and without a hands down, the most passionate person I have ever met when it comes to breath, the most joyful person I've ever met when it comes to talking and exploring the concept of breath and how it can transform our lives. And I just also want to, firstly, hello, Nicola, welcome to the show.
Hello, Persia. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's such a pleasure. And I just want to start by saying, like, you are a truly, truly generous person. Like, you have such a kind and generous soul. When we got on, Nicola mentioned, like, I've been sharing recently that I've been going through a really, really hard time in my life. Some deep healing is going on and it's been really challenging. And I shared a bit about it on social. And the first thing you asked Nicola was like, look, what, before we get into the podcast, like, how are you? What's going on for you? Which then led into the most beautiful breathwork session that was so healing for me. And, you know, that's just what you're like. We met in Goa. We met at our friend's place, Wigwam. We met in Goa. I came to some with my husband, Joe, to some of your breathwork sessions, and you really helped me. And you are a joy to be around. That's the first thing I wanted to say. You are a joy to be around. Have you always been like this?
I've always been a very natural person and just very myself. And I'm not really try to be anything other than that. So I think I'm just very comfortable in my being, mm-hmm. and explorative and just sort of very open to what's going on in the moment. So, and yeah. Usually there's a cosmic joke going on somewhere, isn't there? And I'm drawn in by people, by people's experiences, and I'm always intrigued to know, you know, where's the juice, what's happening, what's going on with people. And really, I suppose, if I could say one thing, it's about being very real life. Authenticity is really important for me. I can't bear surface discussion, so... Mm-hmm. Going straight into really the nitty-gritty and what's working, what's not working, or the hilarity of things is, I've always got a radar out for value. Mm. I'm not very good at, you know, wasting time.
Yeah. We're not talking about the weather. We're not bothering.
Oh, God, no.
What's really going on for you? Yeah.
You know, let's roll up our sleeves and do life together.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's what I do.
I remember when we were in Goa, and one of your dear friends who we got to know in Goa as well, Lucy, she said, I don't even know where she heard this. You might know this, but someone had said to her, or she heard somewhere, never follow a mentor or a guide or whatever who doesn't embody joy. It was something like that. And she said, that's the thing about you is that you really do. And I completely agree. And so I'm really interested. Today we're going to be talking about breath, but we're talking about it in the context of love, dating, relationships. Mm. So the first thing is, let's just lead with that. Like, what does breath have to do with love? let's start with an easy one.
Yes. Well, I think the heart, well, I know that the heart is the portal. The heart is the portal. And if we think about what's happening in society now, most people that I see, pretty much everybody has got a dysfunctional breath in one way or another. And very specifically, if you tune into your own breath now and put one hand on your belly and one hand on your heart and feel the movement of breath, what is happening for you right now? Now, this is one thing I always get into. Let's go for the activists and the actual, let's make it relevant for each person that is listening here and make what is happening with your breath. And what I see is there's a vertical movement with so many people now. Their breath is, their shoulders are moving, the shoulder muscles, the secondary breathing muscles are bringing up the rib cage. There's this stress response protecting the jugular. And people are really finding just the simplest of a relaxed breath is really challenging. And there's this heartbreak. It's sort of like we're heartbroken for ourselves, the world. There's so much that is going on that we're party to, we're observing that is not working. So taking ourselves back to the basics, coming back to a really good healthy breath pattern, coming back to our hearts, opening up our hearts, but also taking the energy of the breath low down into the root, allowing a heart to spread to the hips, the soles of the feet, and allowing this sense of I'm connected to the ground, and finding this connection with ourselves, with our heart, but also that relationship of ourself is also part of the relationship that we have to the ground, to the earth, to the people around us, our community. We really need to build on that. So opening up our hearts, I think this breath pattern is fundamental to how we experience our life.
It really is. And it's, you know, Joe and I did quite a few breathwork sessions in Goa, a few with someone else and a few with you. And I found that it really brought us together, and it was really connecting. And what was interesting, we've done plant medicine ceremonies several times and love them, really transformational, ayahuasca, psilocybin, DMT, we've done it all. But actually doing breath, and this is what was so surprising to me, doing breath work together was like doing plant medicine, like the trauma it released. So then you talked about authenticity. When you're releasing, and you know, I find myself, like I do it in plant medicine, and it turns out I was doing it in breath work as well. Like I'm like singing, and like these sounds are like prehistoric sounds are coming
amazing. Me.
And then you're so open and you're so vulnerable. So therefore, of course, you're going to connect deeper with another person. It's so intimate, isn't it?
It is very intimate. Yeah. Yeah, breath. Well, if you think about the most intimate situations is lovemaking, breath. You match someone else's breath and you breathe together. That in itself is such a turn on, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, I don't know if it was in India that you said this to me, and I'd never thought of it like that. When you're having really good sex and you become one, you literally become one, but you are breathing together, like this organism, like together.
Yeah. It's
incredible.
Yeah. Exactly. And what you want to be, I suppose, if we look further into that relationship, the sexual, the lovemaking, being present. The moment you're not present, lovemaking, that the passion's gone, hasn't it? You have to be present.
Yeah.
You absolutely do in the moment. You give yourself to the moment, you give over your identity, you give over everything to your experience of the moment. And that is hot sex. That is a hot relationship. That is connection, connecting the breath and connecting both breaths, being in the moment, present together. How often does that happen?
Well, because I feel like, you know, we're all so on bloody our phones and computers, like so much. And it takes us out of the present moment, but it takes away that true connection. And there's been some really scary research and studies done around how the more online we are, obviously it's affecting our sexual relationships, because we're just on the screens and it's like not sexy at all.
It's not sexy, really not sexy. But really also not. What's not sexy is losing our focus. So one of the things that also is happening, people's length of focus, apparently our length of focus is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So if you want to have sex for an hour and you want to be present for a whole hour, oh my goodness, whenever do you have presence for someone else for a whole hour without any distraction whatsoever, when you're completely absorbed in each other's energy? I mean, what a rush just thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to be able to do that is incredible, isn't it? So, yeah. And maybe if I'm thinking about it now for the first time, maybe this is people's opportunity to come back to building the ability to focus and be in the moment for any length of time. If something's going to help you do that, oh my goodness, it'll be in sexual relationship, won't it?
Yeah, it's so true.
Wow.
And you think about those early first few months when you meet someone and you know that you're both really into each other and, you know, just you can't keep your hands off each other and, you know, it, and all of that. But over time that fades. And then, you know, you can get into patterns that are, you just think, God, like what's happened? And I do blame the phones a lot of the time. But that's why for me and Joe, going and doing breathwork sessions and things like that, getting back into our bodies is so important. And so
when I see people in love, what do I see? I see people being more silent, looking into each other's eyes a lot, not having to explain anything. This deep connection, eye contact, that just being with each other with not needing to do anything other than just be and feel and sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing required of you. What a wonderful situation to be in. Nobody wants anything other than to look into your eyes, that you're enough just looking into your eyes. You're not measuring up the hips or looking at your thighs or, you know, any of that. It's just like eyes. Oh, my goodness.
And it's just like time stands still.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So following on from that, and we talked about this again a little bit in Goa, but I, in my work, so I wrote a book called Love is Coming and I've got a program called Love for Leaders. And the kind of work is structured in this way that the first phase is heal. So that's where we're looking at our trauma, our past, our childhood, in the context of romantic relationships, our limiting beliefs, all of that stuff, which is like going through the trenches. It is really painful. It's really hard, but it is necessary. It is necessary.
Absolutely.
You move into the second phase when you've done a considerable amount. Obviously, we're always healing, so I've got something in my heart's really annoying. But when you've done you've got a lot of awareness, you've done a lot of that first healing, you move into this next phase, which is attract. This is where we go out and we're starting to, our relationship with ourselves has significantly improved, which is what we've been doing in the heal phase. And now we're ready to go out into the world and to start dating, but to date from a much healthier place. There's obviously a skill set here. It's I talk about the four missing pieces of the courtship puzzle, the first being magnetic energy. The second is discernment. So that's, you know, spotting red flags, getting clear on what you desire, having boundaries. The third thing is effective communication. So many women struggle with that because we had to be silent, chaste, and obedient for most of history. And then the fourth is radical surrender. You know, at the end of the day, it is not up to us. I really believe it is not up to us who our partner is going to be. It's like not about forcing someone to be your partner. It's got to be a collaboration. It's got to be the both of you coming together. The next...
Trust.
And well, that is very good for lead us into the final phase, which is commit. And this is what everyone tells me they want. But what I've seen time and time again with my clients is they work with me, they go through the trenches, do all the hard work, they attract someone amazing and who wants to commit to them, and they want to run for the hills, because this is the commit phase is really where all your stuff starts showing up. You might have the first bit where you're all in love and it's great, but it's when you start to move into that committed relationship where and being with another person, and it can be really challenging. You know, the first year of me and Joe was amazing, and it was also really, really hard. So there are three very distinct phases with different problems, different vibes, different energies. And I was just wondering, like, how would the breath, like, how is breath relevant? Or how could it, we, you know, bring breath into each of those three phases? Because I know it very, breath in the context of healing, because the work, breath work I've done even with you is like, it's getting that trauma out. So can you speak into firstly the phase of heal?
Yeah. So what I heard was triggers, attracting, and then surrendering and the commitment. So triggers, it's fundamental, isn't it, that so often we're in the past or in the future and we're triggered. And what is a trigger? It's something that has been repressed or suppressed. It's from the past, or it's a fear of the future, and it blindsides us so that we can't be authentic. Yeah. We're running on an old program and we get into old patterns of behaviors. It's the same old, same old, same old. We did the same behavior. Oops, here I go again. I know that I don't want to do that. Why have I done the same old thing over and over again? I'm in this pattern. Mm-hmm. So what breathwork will do was it will clear the old triggers. So as we are traumatized, what happens very often, well, pretty much all the time, hold breath. We go into a freeze response, or there's a way of just shutting the body down. And the molecules of emotion, the sadness or the grief or the anger, whatever the emotion is that comes up when we're traumatized, we stuff back down into our body. Mm. Candice Pert wrote a wonderful, wonderful book called The Molecules of Emotion, and she was the first scientist to demonstrate this. So we stuff the emotion back and we put it into cold storage. And then that's an energy, that energetic trigger is there. And then there may be something similar that comes along and just brushes against that cold storage, warms it up a little bit, and your ego is going, ooh, ooh, ooh. There's something similar there. Let's just shut down. Or let's just go into this old strategy that I created when I was 5 or when I was 14. The strategy worked for me then. It kept me safe. So let's go back to that strategy. Mm. So out it comes again. We reel out the same behavior. Because typically what we don't do is we don't sit down and think, actually, if this happens next time, this is what I want to do. Or I'm not willing to open up that bag, look at it and let it go. So that's what the breath does. The breath clears. So often the first thing that happens, this wave of emotion comes up when we come to clear those old triggers. One of them is that it's an emotional response. People very often will just then stuff that back down again. The first thing they do is hold their breath. I have to get them to breathe through it, breathe through it, breathe through it. So it really helps to have someone alongside when you're working with these strongly, deeply held emotional blocks, holding, to really allow that to be released. And it's not only emotional. It can be a physical release. Mm-hmm. It can be hot, cold. It can be shaking. There are many different ways of releasing. It's not just that emotional anger or sadness, crying or it can be joy, actually. So much of our trauma is actually the suppression of joy, yeah. Amazingly. So quite often people will start laughing in breath work. So that releasing of joy. Underneath they'll have a layer of anger or a layer of sadness that comes off, and then there's a layer of joy that's stuck there. That comes out, and another layer. So there are layers and layers that we go through.
Yeah, it's so profound doing a session with you. So so for the first heal phase, are there any little breath exercises someone listening might be able to just try if they feel like there's something they need to release or that they need to heal? Is there just something that they can try at home?
For sure, absolutely. What I would say is to just consciously connect the breath. It might be interesting to ask yourself a question. What is it that I need to release? Is it an emotion? What's the emotion? And then breathe into that. What are the words that I'm saying around this? So it may be, I'm angry. What is that? When I'm angry, what's my mind saying? Mm-hmm. It might be, I'm never good enough. I'm never good enough. And that makes me angrier. I'm on this treadmill. I'm never good enough. So that's the what I'm hearing, that's the ego talking, that's the narrative. Mm-hmm. So going in and picking apart what I'm saying to myself, what is the feeling that's coming up, what's the typical behavior, what's the trigger, how am I behaving? So putting all of those parts into the mix, breathing into them, and then allowing that energetically to be released, and then coming up with, and this is where affirmations come in. Instead of saying I'm not enough, what can I replace that with? What do I want to say to myself that would be really nurturing and allow that to be a different narrative? Mm-hmm. What's the emotion that I want to feel? What strategy do I need to put in place that's new? What behavior do I want to display that will be new for me? So you're really working with the fundamental building blocks, mm-hmm. of what I say, how I say it, the behavior, what I'm feeling, recognizing the emotion, and going back and shifting that, and then building that anew. Mm. That can all happen through the breath, but you need to consciously connect the breath. And at any time, if you feel, oh my goodness, this is getting too much for me, you can just get into child's pose, get into a position, lying on your front on the floor, lying on your back on the floor, feeling really grounded. It's really important not to try and take things too fast. Mm-hmm. So often people get into a situation where it can be quite activating, revisiting the past. So either you want to take this really, really slowly, or come to a breath coach or someone that can be alongside you to really help you come into some of that releasing.
Mm-hmm. What does consciously connecting the breath mean?
It means as you breathe in, and inspirational breathing, consciously connecting means for us, for me and the inspirational breathing practitioners, breathing in for a count of two and then exhaling for a count of one. So we have a ratio. We don't ever go into hyperventilation, mm-hmm. where we don't have enough carbon dioxide in the body. So often what happens with people when they get emotional, if you think about it, they get emotional. What I'm doing there is I'm simulating crying, or that gulping, or that releasing. So often there's more exhale than inhale. Mm. We want to release, so we exhale more. We let go of too much carbon dioxide. That's a typical anxious, a panic attack or anxiety. People are breathing out more than they're breathing in. Mm. A really simple tool is just to breathe in for a count of two, and you can use an affirmation like I am, a count of two on the inhale, and then exhale here. I am on the inhale. If we use our arms and imagine, so we spread our arms up. I'm going above my head with my arms. In fact, what I'll do for all your listeners, Persia, is on Instagram, I'll do this. I'll do a post.
Yeah.
And I'll do this on Instagram, okay? So you've got the visual for it.
Yeah.
So we breathe in for two. We raise our arms above our head. Inhale. Just the fact that we're opening up the sides of the rib cage will help us have a fully 360 degree inhale. So we're using our diaphragmatic breath, inhale, and then the exhale for one. We just let the arms go and exhale. We're not holding on. So much of breath work now talks about box breathing, or having a slow exhale, controlled exhale, which helps the parasympathetic nervous system. Actually, what I really encourage people to do before they get into any manipulation of the breath, and this is absolutely key, is to get the diaphragmatic breath working first. Mm-hmm. If you've got a dysfunctional breath and you're not breathing with your diaphragm, and you do box breathing, or you have a slow exhale, if you're in a primal stress response and you're protecting your jugular, nothing will work in terms of helping you reduce stress in your breath until you drop the energy down into a diaphragmatic breath, relax the shoulders, stop that primal stress response. You're not protecting your jugular anymore. We can see people walking around with their shoulders up by their ears. It's a primal stress response to protect the jugular. Bring that energy down and come into a diaphragmatic breath. So breathing in for a count of two and immediately going into an exhale, relaxing the exhale. Mm-hmm. So no control on the exhale is how a baby breathes. Mm. So anybody that has a baby or a horse or a dog or a cat, you will not see them hold their breath. So this is absolutely key.
Some I just looked at my dog then. Like, and it is interesting. He's going... He's actually doing it like that.
Yeah. Aww. So what I do essentially is take people back to their baby's breath, this beautiful engine of a breath, purring engine of a breath, where everything is running smoothly, energetically, it's all working. There's no manipulation of the breath. It is how we were designed to breathe as a baby breathes. Mm. We want to get to that position first before we do any manipulation.
Yeah. Okay, great. So we talked about heel, we've talked about the releasing, getting into the breath, getting into the body. When we start moving into the attract phase, which is very different, this is sort of summer energy, playful, magnetic, fun. Mm-hmm. How might breath be relevant when we're in this phase?
Great question. So if you're attractive, one of the things that is most attractive is not having any needs. I'm not manipulating. I don't have conditions around what I'm giving out. I'm just, I'm in my power. I don't need. I'm totally truthful to myself. That can be really attractive, can't it? There's no manipulation here. We can just be in the moment. So the breath can really help you to explore your authentic self, what conditions am I putting in here? What are my needs right now? Consciously connecting your breath. If anything feels quirky or out, what's happening when I'm engaging with other people? Have I got a free flowing? I'm giving of myself freely. I don't need anything in return. I'm here in the moment. That is so attractive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I trust myself completely.
I sometimes in the past, when I've been on a date and I've been nervous, it's like held my breath, which I think a lot of people do. And it like tense up and like, and also, you know, we talked before about the voice and how the voice can go like higher and, you know, and actually what's sexy is when I was like low and slow, like when your voice drops down. Yeah. I'm talking it from my power now. I feel very comfortable with you. I feel completely in my power. And listen to how low my voice is. Yeah. Whereas if you see me, if I'm around people I'm not comfortable with, and like, it goes up about 12 octaves.
Yes,
and my shoulders come up. Everything comes up. Whereas we want to think of being grounded. So that's interesting. Yeah. You also see someone who's like truly confident, not trying to be cool, not trying to be confident, just actually confident. They're very relaxed. If you look at their body language, they're very relaxed. Their breath is slower. They're in their body and they are present.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't need you to like them. Mm-hmm. They don't need your reinforcing as a person. Mm-hmm. So you having a conscious connected breath, having a conscious connection with yourself, really understanding yourself, feeling really deeply connected, rooted, understanding internally what's going on, you turn up much more in the moment, authentic, and that is attractive.
Yeah.
You're not worried about how you look. You just, you know, a hair's out of place. I don't give a damn. Mm. So it's the relationship that's really important. It's not how I'm looking. It's not what I'm going to say next. It's let's just be 100% in the moment. And that's where breath is, bringing yourself into this breathing in, receiving, exhaling, letting go. Your nervous system's going, hey, we're A-okay here. There's just that purring engine, zero stress. I'm in perfect alignment with myself.
I love that. And you know what I just thought, and this is actually something I've done, not in dates because I've been my husband 8 years now, but I've done it in like business meetings or when I felt uncomfortable. I don't even know who told me to do this, but it really works, is say you're on a date or wherever, you're somewhere and you're just feeling a bit uncomfortable. I'm one of those people, I feel, I've got to fill the space. There can't be silence. And actually, if you look at someone, okay, I don't know why he's just come into my mind, Johnny Depp. If you look at him in interviews, he obviously very good actor. He doesn't rush. He doesn't feel the need to jump in the stage. And in fact, a lot of the time you'll watch him, they'll ask him, journalists will ask him a question and he'll go, and then he'll respond. And
absolutely.
It's actually really interesting because no one does that. So if you're on a date and you're feeling a little bit awkward or they ask you a question, you're not sure or whatever it is, stop, breathe in and breathe out, which gives you that moment. It comes to the moment of like authenticity. And it's sexy because there's a confidence in that of like, I don't have to rush to fill the space.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A little dating tip from me there. Is there anything else that's
going on? Yeah, you want to get alignment. So when I talked about the word alignment came up, when we say and the words that we use and how we use them, our body language, when we're congruent with those three things, that's when we're in our power. And that's really attractive and people will listen and believe what we're saying. You know that Malcolm Gladwell, that book Blink, where there's the gut feelers. Is this person truthful? Are they authentic? So when we say what we say, how we say it, and our mannerisms, our body around what we're saying, if all of that story is in alignment, it's truth. It's really rock solid, powerful. Mm-hmm. If your voice is really high and you say, no, I'm really confident, actually, no, I'm fine. You're not fine.
Yeah.
You know, nothing about that is fine.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you think about it, if you see anybody who's breathing and they're going, doing this vertical breathe, they're typically really up here and they're in their voice.
Yeah.
But coming down to a diaphragmatic breath, usually people drop an octave.
Yeah.
When they come down to the diaphragmatic breath. So you're telling a story all the time with how you are, how you're behaving, what you're saying. If everything adds up, that's attractive, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's magnetic.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're totally believable. You're trustworthy.
Yeah.
We know we're getting the real you.
Yeah.
And we're getting that powerful part of you that is coming from a place of wanting to share the deepest part of you.
Yeah.
You're not trying to put a shine on anything. You're not trying to be something that you're not. Mm. And I mean, sometimes it can be really connecting for people in their relationship to be humble, to say you don't know, to be vulnerable. Content that can really draw people in, and then suddenly people having really honest conversations. There's something about there's an honesty to all of that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
And I don't want to waste time. I really don't want to waste time to having a conversation that I don't feel is honest, because it's just nothing happens from that.
No, nothing.
No point.
When I met Joe, we were at a festival, and it was just straight away. Just very, that was the thing. I just noticed. I was like, I just feel so myself. I'm not
doing
my performance. I'm just, and so is he. It's just being ourselves.
Yeah.
And I always say that's one of the main keys is don't, you know, the worst dating advice would be like, just go and be yourself. It's like, but with some people, you can't, for whatever reason, there is, or like in some situations, it can be really difficult. What I say is notice where you are naturally being yourself. Because that's really interesting observation. Mm. Because if you're trying to be yourself, you're performing. But what you can do is, like these tools we've talked about with breath work, help you drop into yourself so that if you're around someone who maybe you don't feel safe with, sometimes it's just about like, you know what, this is just not the right chemistry. This is just not the right match. But what I'm not willing to do anymore, this is where I've got to in myself, I am not going to contort myself and adapt myself to try and be more palatable or for you to try and so that you accept me. Which is I've done my whole life, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we've all done that in our dating lives because we're not feeling good enough. So we think, oh, I need to be what I think they want. And actually what most people want is what you said. what is most sexy and magnetic is someone who is just being themselves. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? It's just someone who is just relaxed and like, this is who I am.
Well, I think it is, like you've said with Joe, it is easy when you get to the right person.
Yeah.
So there's no effort there. Yeah. I think one of the absolute keys for me in any relationship, do I like who I am when I'm with them?
Yes.
Do we sparkle? Do we ask each other really good questions? What do we talk about? Does it matter? What happens with this person to my energy? Am I more of who I am, or am I being pushed out of shape? So I think that's an absolute key in any, whether it's a partner relationship, any relationship is who am I with this person? Do I like myself in this relationship?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that leads on really well to the final phase, commit.
What about surrender and trust? Can we go into surrender?
Oh, yeah. Well, surrender. Yeah. I feel like surrender is part of all of these three phases. But I also, I think it's, and surrender and trust, particularly when we get to stepping into commitment with someone, like moving in the direction of, okay, I'm not just dating, you know, going on loads of dates with loads of people. Like, we've formed this connection. We want to move into this. I feel called to move into this new phase with you, but I'm fucking terrified because it brings up so much stuff. It brings up trust issues, trusting myself, trusting you, trusting life, all of these things. So I think trust and surrender are very much a part of that, and where people get so afraid because they're afraid to trust again because of the past, because something happened in their past. And they're like, I don't want to let you see me and love me and fall in love with you, and then you turn around and end it or cheat on me or whatever happened in the past.
Exactly. Yes. So what I'd love is to give a little exercise, because I think surrendering and trusting is absolutely the heart of any relationship. Trust, to be able to trust someone, you can only have a depth of relationship to the depth that you trust someone.
Yes.
So, and I think that's absolutely crucial. So if everybody listening just puts their hand to the solar plexus, and the solar plexus, this chakra, is all around trust and surrender. And this is the epicenter of the breath. So this is where the diaphragm joins onto the rib cage. The diaphragm, as we breathe in, comes down. You'll feel the movement in your belly. So you're not breathing into your belly. You're breathing with your diaphragm at your solar plexus. As you breathe in, the diaphragm drops down. That vacuum creates the air that rushes into the lungs. And then the exhale is that relaxation, that letting go of the exhale, letting go and allowing that exhale to happen. So if you're not trusting, you're not letting go. And it's so interesting. So often I'll start with the exhale with people's breath pattern, because they're holding on. They're holding on, and they control their exhale. And being able to just let go of the exhale is such a crucial part of a conscious, connected breath, of your breathing pattern, letting go of the exhale and then bouncing back into the inhale, and that receiving. The receiving of that inspiration, that life force, let's bring it on, let's do it, you know, let's go for it. But to go for it in every moment, you have to let go. You let go of the exhale again. Let go of everything that's just happened. Krishnamurti said, die to every day. Nicola Bryce says, die to every exhale. Let go of every exhale and let the inhale be fresh, new, inspiration. Boom, there you go. There it is. So, back again. Let's take the fingers to the, if we tap the sternum, the sternum, that this hard bone that's protecting the heart, and then we get to the soft tissue, that's your solar plexus. So just making sure that everybody's got to the solar plexus. It's, you can feel the top of the bottom of the rib cage, the ribs are just there, and there's this soft, vulnerable place again. For the jugular is one of the most vulnerable place. And then we've got this soft belly here, very vulnerable. So coming to the solar plexus here, just taking the fingers into the solar plexus and just seeing what tension is there. If we tuck the fingers underneath the rib cage and just work our fingers underneath the rib cage, watch that floating rib there. And just coming to the side ribs, just coming to the sides, then working the fingers back up to the solar plexus and the center, and feeling how much tension is underneath this rib cage here. So often in the fascia, fear, Wilhelm Reich talked about the fear belt here. If you feel anxious, there's this constriction of the fear belt, and this is where the diaphragm is. So we want to release all of that fear, release that off, and take a full breath in. So, and we can use affirmations. We can use a lot of the tools that inspirational breathing uses. One of them is affirmations. I like myself, or it's okay. I trust and I surrender. I trust, I surrender. Just really deeply, deeply coming into that, knowing that we can surrender. It's so important to be able to do that. Then we start again.
You know, it's interesting. I can't believe I forgot this, but I'm wearing, I did a collaboration with an amazing jewelry company. And if you can see, look what my necklace says, surrender.
Surrender.
Surrender. Yes. And because I have to remember every day. And I have this expression I talk about in my book, surrender to the festival. And what I meant by that, I met my husband at a festival, and I'd gone from this place of trying to find my husband, you know, like mm-hmm. I'd been at the same festival the year before, looking around, trying to find him, and, you know, wanting like feeling, oh, all my friends are getting married and I'm left behind, which is a lot of women who come to work with me are in that place, or time's ticking, you know, a lot of women wanting to have kids and obviously biological clock. And so we go into control. And actually that we think we're doing something useful. We're like on all the dating apps, it's a numbers game. It's not a numbers game. It's a presence game. It's actually a surrender game. That's what I learned. And so surrender to the festival. One of the opening quotes in my book, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, life is a festival only to the wise. And when you go to a festival, like there's so much going on, like, you know, there's good thing, like there might be raining, or there might be a band over there, or there might be, you know, all of these crazy things go. Obviously, Glastonbury festivals just happened at the time of recording. And when I went to this festival years ago, the year before I met my husband, I had planned how this festival was going to go. I was going to go here, then we were going to do this and then that and that. And of course, it doesn't account for life and shit going wrong and fit, you know, whatever. When I met my husband, I was actually speaking at that festival. I was like, right, I'm not going to do it in the same way. I'm not going to try and curate it within an inch of its life. I'm going to surrender to the festival and let her take me wherever she wants to take me.
Beautiful.
I literally get shivers because so many things had to go wrong for both me and Joe at that festival that had meant that we happened to be standing in the same place at the same time, not just once. There were thousands of people there on the Friday night when we first met each other. Then we got each other's numbers. We had a snog. We got each other's numbers. We had like some fun running around the festival. He took me back. He got my number. He said, I would love to see you tomorrow. What should we do? And he sent me a text. I replied. He didn't reply. So I'm interpreting that as he's rejected me. So going into the old story, I've been ghosted. He's rejected me. And there I notice I start looking for him. But actually, again, I was like, no, my mantra is surrender to the festival. Stop trying to find him. Stop trying to make things happen. Just be where you are. Later that night, literally when I was present, I'd forgot about him. I was just with some mates that I bumped into. I felt this feeling that said, turn around. And I turn around in this tent called the Peacock Tent. And there he is, Joey Wilderness, striding out. And that was it. And we had the best night of our life. And that is why we are married, because I surrendered to the festival. I stopped trying to make it what I thought it should be. And honestly, the amount of clients who've had a similar experience, not even just in their love life, but when it's like, yes, we do need to take action sometimes, but we also need to listen to life. We need to listen to our gut and not go into that crazy manicness trying to make it all happen in our terms, because we can't see the bigger picture.
Exactly. Trust.
Trust.
Brilliant. So absolutely. Persia, you nailed it there. As soon as we stop trying so hard, everything typically falls into place. All the right people. It's interesting. I just allow the vibration. Work on a vibrational level.
Yes.
And there's something about, I mean, I've never been on a dating app. I've never even looked at Tinder, but what I see is and hear about is this all this swiping business. Mm-hmm. Just allow the vibration to do the work. It looks such hard work.
That's it.
Just keep it really simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I think just your story is so inspiring, Persia. It's great. Just that trust and surrender.
As you know, because we had a deep conversation that led to the breathwork practice before we got on, I've been going through a new rock bottom. And I feel like today is the first day where I'm kind of stepping into trust and my power again. And it's been such a good reminder that I don't have, I have been trying to control too much again, you know, and it's not, my issue is not that I don't try or that I don't work hard. It's just sometimes it's that the fear is, it's coming from fear. And I see this so much with women trying to find their partner. It's coming from fear. And so what you're doing is you're repelling it and things get really chaotic and scary. Whereas actually coming to rock bottom and everything just going blah, even though it was devastating, there's so much freedom in it. Because now I'm rebuilding things from a much healthier, more grounded place. And I can just feel the power of that, you know? And I'm trusting. I'm having to trust every day, every single day. Surrender and trust. And you know what's so funny? These big opportunities that I was striving so hard and trying to make happen never happened when I was doing that. When I just focused on the insides, the outsides take care of themselves, as my dad taught me, which is what got me into this whole journey of self-development, him saying those words to me. And that's the message of mine and my friend's first book, The Inner Fix. But when I'm just focusing on looking after myself, loving myself, supporting myself, healing where I need to heal. And yes, some of that looks like taking some scary actions, but it's coming from a healthier place. These opportunities that I was obsessing about trying to make happen are just coming out of nowhere. And that's what happens in love as well. That's how it happened for me with Joe. And again, loads of clients. It's like when you stop trying to go and make it happen, force it, and you focus on yourself, the breath, connecting, all of that, then it just happens.
Yeah, and I'm in a really beautiful way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, I could talk to you forever, but that feels like a good place to start wrapping up. I have something at the end of these podcast episodes called the home straight questions. So they're like looking round. So just the first thing that comes into your head, don't get it. Don't
okay, good,
it
great. Okay, yeah,
first question. Nicola Price.
Yes.
What love life advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
What love life advice? 15. Gosh. Well, I started my sexual journey when I was 15, which was far too young. And I would say wait. And not jump in too soon. And I think my if I could go really deep, it would be I skewed my relationship to men early on in that, and a trigger warning here, I was abused when I was 7. Mm. And so I really didn't know myself. My response to men were to please, mm-hmm. or to navigate an experience to get it over and done with.
Yeah.
And so I gave far too much of myself in relationships too early on. So I would say it's sacred being with a partner. It's so special. And allowing that sacredness to be there and to honor myself, honor a partner, in that coming together, I would say that's really important. Just sort of launching my sexual life was far too soon, mm-hmm. and really, it wasn't sacred.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of people will relate to that.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, put me on the spot there, Persia.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to put you on the spot again now.
Because that is it. That is, you know, it's really good to recognise.
Yeah.
No, it's so special.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at, well, I didn't do lots of one-night stands. This is very intimate, but I've connected with men deeply 13 times. Mm. So it's not, and I think just being able to learn and grow with each one, mm-hmm. also is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Each one gives something.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, it's so interesting you know the number, because I definitely don't. And that, I'm really sad about that, because I could not even begin to guess. And I was so not sacred in any way. And now it is for me, and it took me a long time to get there. So that's beautiful advice.
Mm.
Understand that sex and love, it's sacred. Know your worth.
Yeah.
Okay, another question. What's one thing people may be surprised to know about you?
Oh my goodness. Surprised to know about me. I've got a little fight going on, because I want people to know something about me that is, I ride a motorbike and I love the open road. I don't like speed. One night, I woke up at 12 o'clock, midnight, and I just had this deep desire to go up, get naked, get on my motorbike, and just drive. I'd have my helmet on, and I'd have to have shoes on, because I'd gear change. You know, I can't ride my bike, and I've got a Honda Rebel 500, and I need shoes on to ride it. But it's that. I really take that this authentic, natural to the nth degree.
Yes.
There was a moment when I was lying there thinking, God, I'd love to feel the wind on my skin and just, you know, would anybody really know? Would they see me? You know, I just sort of nipped, you know, once, you know, off to the coast road and then back again. And so it's that sort of, I think I've got a bit of a deep, deep, deep desire to be as natural as possible. And that certainly was sort of like, I don't know why that's something that I think people might be surprised at.
Well, I was surprised even to know that you got, did you go on your motorbike naked?
You know what? I didn't. I had to visualize it, and it was quite exciting visualizing it, but I think I really should have got in there.
Well, there's still time, Nicola.
There definitely is. Actually, I have done the naked bike ride. I did have bikini bottoms on, because that doesn't really quite work for me, a saddle and being naked. But I did go topless, and I have had a double mastectomy with no reconstruction. So that was a big step for me. That's a big story in my journey. But it was interesting. It was really interesting. So I have gotten some way towards that.
I've just realised a really weird synchronicity. So you've got the phoenix tattoo, don't you?
I have the phoenix tattoo on my chest, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so I was in a meeting with my team on Wednesday, and we had to do some stuff, and I won't go into it, but basically we needed to name a project of like of just sort of sorting some stuff out. And I was like, we need a name for it. We're kind of rising from the ashes, like Operation Phoenix.
Yes.
So we're like, right, guys, Operation Phoenix. And I'm speaking to you today. it's been one of those weeks for me where there's been some real pain and tears, and there's also been the craziest magic and synchronicities, and that's right. And when you start living your life in surrender and trust and gratitude and joy, it's amazing the magic and coincidences and synchronicities that start to come about. And it's how I met my husband. It's how all the good stuff in my life comes like this. And that's what makes life so exciting.
Can't wipe the smile off my face.
Okay, yeah, right. I've got one important question to ask you, but before I do, the last one, where can people find out more about your work?
On my website, inspirationalbreathing.com. Instagram, Inspirational Breathing, probably the two best ways. I do a Gayatri chant. I love chanting. I love that sort of low vibration, root vibration on a Monday morning at 7:30. And I do a bop and breathe. So I just move energy 10 to 9 every Monday and go into a few of the tools of breathwork. I just do it in the moment, actually. I don't prepare anything. So I just love that moment of I don't even pick a track because I never know how I'm going to feel. So I pick a track last minute, literally 10 minutes before 10 to 9, and pick a track and decide what to do there and then. And
I'm going to start coming to that. So it's Mondays, 10 to 9.
10 to 9, yeah, on Instagram.
So it's like, nice, it's just...
I'm absolutely hopeless. Actually, another thing people might be surprised is I'm actually useless at IT. And so all I know is I know how to press the live button. Haven't really worked out reels yet. If it happens, it's really random. But I do know how to press the live button. So I just do lives most of the time.
Yeah.
All of the time, actually. And everything's live. Everything's in the moment. Everything's pretty as it is. You'll take me how you find me.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start coming. What a great way to start Monday morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jumping up and down.
Jumping, exactly. Perfect. I'll be there. That's final question.
And not only me, actually, because I teach and there are lots of inspirational breathing practitioners. So I live in Brighton, but there are lots of practitioners that have been trained by me. My background is in corporate training leadership. And so that's something that I've dedicated my life to, not only finding breath and just allowing that to be the biggest part of my life other than my family and my friends. So that's my working life is all about the breath. So I've trained, people have trained with me, many people, and they're on the website.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay.
Final last question. Oh my goodness. Go on. Oh, I'm limbering up.
What is your number one piece of advice for any single woman who's listening to this and she's thriving in her career, but she's really struggling in her love life? What would you say to her?
She's thriving in her career. So struggling in her love life. I think fall in love with yourself first and really love being with yourself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it to the degree that you don't actually need anybody else. And so that when someone does come along, they have to display that your life is the richer for them coming into your little life bubble.
Yes.
How does that sound?
Yeah, I could not agree more.
They have to add something.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
There's a freedom in I live alone. Someone has to be absolutely amazing to come and be in my home with me and take up time and space and not even just come and share my life with me, but just, you know, as a partner, but just as being a friend, being in relationship with someone. Yeah. As I get older, I'm 61 and I find myself simplifying down. The more I get older, the more simple my life becomes. Mm-hmm. And that is included in what I do, how I do it, and the people that are around me. So I very much choose my community. Absolutely, I do. And someone has to display that they're an out-and-out addition to my life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're not with me. They're not in my bubble.
not coming in.
They're not coming in.
Honor yourself, know your worth, fall in love with yourself.
Yeah.
Love it. Perfect way to end this beautiful
in your
episode.
In your own company. Love your own company.
Yeah. You know, Joe's away tonight because he's gone to be with his brother for his birthday. And it's just me and the dog. And I'm like, as much as I adore my husband, I'm like, I'm really excited to spend some Persia time, you know.
Lovely.
Have some time with just me and the dogs there as well. But, you know, I'm really excited about it. And yeah. I never used to be. So that's progress.
There you go. Great. Progress. We learn. It's that growing. It's amazing, isn't it? How much we can learn and grow and look back. I think another thing is really important is to look back and see how far you've come, because work is, you know, breath work is work, actually. It's hard. Yeah. It can be hard work. It's,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There are lots of blocks and the ego is so clever at putting up the barriers and no, I'm not worthy or whatever it is, you know. So it really is a life commitment to yourself. See the big picture. The big picture is this is the life commitment to myself.
Yes. Well, on that note, Nicola, you've been the most amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited for people to get to know you more. Go and check out your work. We'll put all the links in the show notes.
Great.
Thank you for being a great guest.
Thank you, Persia. And if anybody's around Rottingdean in Brighton at 12 o'clock midnight, you might find that you hear the motorbike roaring round.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope this episode served you and gave some practical insights and strategies around the next steps in transforming your love life from the inside out. Do come and let me know over on Instagram what resonated for you the most and why. I am at Persia Lawson. And if you want more tips and tools on how to become a vibrational match for the powerful, committed relationship that you deserve, check out my book, Love is Coming, as well as my programs and coaching containers over at persialawson.com. This website is also linked in this episode's show notes. And if you got value from this episode, I'd be so grateful if you'd like, subscribe, share, and or leave a quick review. This helps the podcast rank higher so it can reach other women who want or need the support. And to have your question answered, send it over to podcast@persialawson.com and we'll get to it ASAP. Until next time, I want you to remember that love is coming for you. But in the meantime, it's your responsibility to stop looking outside of yourself for the partner you want to get and start looking inside of yourself for the partner you want to be.